Hello everyone, welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Lord said, tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left. God wants all of His people in the kingdom of God, and I do too. I love His people. I love what He's done for us. And when you get to know the Lord, now we've been talking about how people allow Him to be this mysterious stranger. But when you get to know the Lord, God is good. Everybody I know that have a relationship with the Lord, they know God is good. Some people, they just work hard to stay in covenant with God. They read His word, but they don't really ask Him, you know, details. But it's time now for Christian people who love God. Not saying that you don't. Not saying that you don't. But it's time now for more of God's people to do this. To draw near to the Lord and ask questions. Let Him fill your heart. See, this is why I say that. I've done it every way you could do it. I've been in church all my life. I didn't get saved until I was almost 20 years old. But after I got saved, I did what many Christians do. I studied the Word. I prayed, I was learning about God, and I was satisfied. I was happy to learn about God. And it was important to me. The things that I used to dislike, I loved. And the things that I used to love, I hated. You know, the things of the world, I didn't want that anymore. And I wanted to know that I would never get caught up in that web of confusion again. And so I drew near to the Lord. And I said, I want to get to know Him. Now, the way people did in the days when I was growing up, they kind of treated God like a mysterious stranger. They loved Him, and they'd read His word, but they also acted like God wouldn't talk to you. And when the Lord did talk to people, if you're born again, God's going to eventually talk to you. He's going to have to. Something's going to happen, and the Lord's going to have to guide you. But when that would happen, what people would do, the dedicated ones would act on what God said, but they wouldn't go and tell people that God told me this or that. And or He'll give them a dream. And if they did tell you about it, they'd tell you cautiously. So, you know, I didn't know that the Lord was giving my dad messages until I was almost grown. He said, we was talking about something, how God talked to you. He said, oh, yeah. He said, the Lord will talk to you. That's how I get my messages. But He didn't go around telling people that God said this or that. I do. This is why. When the Lord tells me something, it makes my life better. It helps me see things I never saw before. It all, and especially when the Lord confirms it through others. Now, when doctors come up with a new treatment, they don't like to release it until it's proven against double blindness. Okay, you got a doctor over here did a test. You got one that don't know him did a test. And you got may have another one that did a test. And it all equals out. Then they like to include it as a viable treatment. They call it double blind research. Now, and so when I asked the Lord a question in my prayer room, and He answered me, most of the time I can tell it's Him. There's a witness down deep inside. The Holy Spirit bears witness that this is of God. And I can find a scriptural reference, and it, you know, it solidifies. It's right. All right. Sometimes a concept may be something that I'm not used to, but it's still of God. And when it is God, it's not wrong. It's life. It always works, and it's the best choice. So some things I say, Lord, I need you to confirm it. And I don't go around telling people what happened. I just go about my way, go to church. And usually at church, my pastor will confirm it some kind of way. They don't know it. I don't tell them. I don't ever tell them. I told them it happens, but I don't tell them situations unless it's relevant. This is why I say that. God is talking to us. And the world is hungry for this. There are people in the world having all kind of unnecessary problems. Unnecessary problems. They're having unnecessary problems. Unnecessary problems in their marriage. Unnecessary problems. They want to raise their children right. They want to do what's right. But they don't know how. Or they don't know how to make the best choice. They don't have the courage to take the next best step. So, if you have a relationship with God, all these things become possibilities. You can have a better career, marriage, better relationships with your children. I can go right now and point out some scriptures. If a family, the whole family, will study 1 Peter for a month with the intent to do it, their whole life will change. Their whole life will change. Now, I said in the last broadcast, you're going to make millions of decisions over time. Now, this is why I say that. If you wrote down every decision you make, you'll see what I'm talking about. You get out of the bed, you already decided to, if you like coffee, drink coffee and eat breakfast. Okay, that's a decision. What are you going to eat? That's a decision. All right, now track with me. You're going to make decisions about what you put on, what you wear, where you're going to go that day, what you're going to do, how you're going to treat people. All these add up to millions of decisions over a decade. Thousands of decisions over a month. Now, let's say you got a relationship with God and you're driving out all the influences of Satan and you're receiving the word of God. That's going to affect your choices. You're going to do things in a wiser way and in a better way. And God's going to clue you into it to an even better way that you never thought about before. I give you an example. When I got in my late 40s, I said, I better change the way I eat or the doctor going, you know, I don't want to become a diabetic. So I was already exercising. But I know I eat too much sugar and, you know, too much of the wrong things. But I don't like dieting. So I said, it's got to be a better way to do this. And I got a Holy Ghost idea. I started saying with my mouth that I crave what I need the most. Now, that's beyond a diet. I just kind of lost my taste for things. I did it by faith. Just like you get saved by faith. I made that confession by faith and I meant it. And this was something I could easily stick to because I'm involving God. I just spoke to my body to crave what you need the most. So I kept saying it, and things that I didn't need, I didn't have a taste for it. Things that I did need, I had more of a taste for it. It works, still works. So I took it to another level. I said, everything that's not like God's got to go. I lost my taste for movies. Some things I like, you know, some things just ain't. It ain't the best thing to watch. But I don't want to watch it now. It made it easy. I said everything. I said I would do all that's in God's heart. Whatever he want to do. I'm on. When God give me something to do, I'm on board with it. There's no delay time. I don't have to wrestle and consider it. I just jump on it when God wants to do something. And then I learn. Every time that he give me something, I learn from it. I talk about it all the time on the website broadcast. And remember, everything on the website broadcast is free. NewLivingLetters.com. This broadcast is on there. It's free in real time. Go to NewLivingLetters.com. Everything is free. But when you receive what God is saying, you get to know him. And it doesn't make sense for people to go through this whole life without knowing him for yourself. Now, when you read about them, that's good. That's still learning. Every time you study the Word of God, you're growing. But when you have that relationship where the Lord can talk to you, Now remember, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not make you do anything. Because he loves you, he may alert you to something important. But you'll have to choose to do it. He might wake you up to pray for people. He do that for me. And sometimes people's life is in danger. And I pray for, and he'll wake me up. I pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues. I pray in the Holy Spirit until I start laughing, basically. Until I know, hey, it's done. See, God has to work through people. All the miracles he did after he made Adam, he does it through men or women. He can't just make a decision without us, because we have authority on the earth. And Jesus gave us authority. He gave Adam authority on the earth. The earth is man's jurisdiction. Jesus had to come to save us as a man. When he left, he left us with his authority. And in order for God to do something he wants to do, he has to get somebody on earth to believe him for it. And Satan the same way. Before, if he wants to get away with something, he has to deceive somebody and drive them to do it. But God don't drive people to do anything. With God, you do it because of the love in you. Some Christians just roll over and go back to sleep. They're so used to not involving God in their life. When it's an emergency, they don't involve him either. That's why you hear so many Christians say, "Some told me not to do that." They're too lethargic. They need to get in the Word and have a relationship with the Lord. So many people have a relationship with the phone. They got more of a relationship with a cell phone than they do with Jesus. That's a problem, especially when it's an emergency. And I know we're not saved by works, but we have to work out our own salvation. It's important. Now, people who, see, the kind of people that's going to get left behind, Jesus said, "Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left." And he told us this in time to make a life change. It can take months and years to make a life change. God is merciful. So just because everything didn't happen in 2018, that's just the mercy of, he knew when to start. I'm following him. And I'm not in a hurry for him to come back, but I have to tell you what he tell me. Now, he loves us. He cares about us. He don't want to leave any of his children behind, but he has to when they allow sin in their life. Now, the difference between, he said, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. He didn't say that they were evil. He said he had to leave them because they were foolish. Now, I'm going to show you how this works. I thought about this. The thought came to me yesterday. The wise, they take God serious. They value his word. They have love in them. And they receive his word. The foolish ones, they let the word run out. See, we live by the word of God. The word that's in our heart keeps us stable. It keeps you from being in strife. It gives you strength to do what your spirit man wants to do. But sometimes people, they allow strife. They don't forgive. They don't forget, in the sense of releasing people from their sin or their offense. They protect their offense, so to speak. And then that kind of strife absorbs the word out of your, it steals the word out of your heart. I'll give you an example. When I first started preaching, I would get invited to preach. I didn't preach much because I just got started. So if somebody invited me to preach, it might be 2-3 weeks away. Then the Lord would give me a message, and by the time it's time for me to preach, I had to read the notes off the. When he give me the message, I can feel it in my chest. I can feel this message. It's alive. It's a word, and it wants to be preached. That's how it is when you're a preacher. I could feel the word of God in my heart. But life circumstances, you know, by the time I had to preach, I had to read off the paper, because the word that was in my heart, the charge was gone. I had to read it off my outlines. I said, "Lord," after about 2 or 3 years, I said, "Lord, why is it when you give me a word, I feel excited like a child at Christmas, but when it's time to preach, I'm empty?" He said, "The enemy's been siphoning the word out of your heart." How does he do that? Well, in my business, sometimes I get the wrong parts. Sometimes people wouldn't pay me. things will go wrong, and all this discharges the word out of your heart. But when you fill your heart with the word, you have strength. The wise keep their heart charged. The foolish allow the charge to leave. And then they get in sin. Then God got to leave them. This is why it's very important. See, God loves us to do what Jesus said do. Study St. John chapter 12 through 17 often, because that's what Jesus said to his disciples. Be a student of the word and you'll be wise. That's where wisdom comes from somewhere. It don't just happen because you wish it was there. You have to apply yourself to study the word of God. This is for your life, and also your relationship with God is enjoyable. He'll stop being a mysterious stranger to those who love him, those who count on him, those who ask questions. And it's not stupid to ask God questions. It's not evil to ask God questions. That's wisdom. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. And if you want to know something, ask. It's important. But when people don't do that, not saying that you don't do it, but when people don't do that, it becomes a problem. And then you're going to have a belief system that might not be correct. Because when you follow God, when you seek him out, when you get to know him, he will reveal himself. He cares about us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to understand. He wants us to see him as he is. See, you can see God now. You can see his character. You may not see his countenance, but you can see, you won't see his face, but you can see his face. You can see his desires for you. You can see his goodness. When you see God's face, and you want to know him for who he is, and you want to know what he's like, you study the word of God. See, our God wants to be known. He wants you to know him. When you seek his face, you're seeking who he is. See, when somebody's talking to you and you're looking them in the eye, you can tell a lot of things about them. You don't get to do that with God per se. But if you study his word, you do. You get to see his intent, his passions, you get to see him. Asked Jesus, show us the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They're one. Let me put it another way. If you love and follow God, when the world see you, they see the Lord. They see Jesus, which is the same as the Father. When you love people and respond to people with 1 Peter love and kindness, they get a glimpse of who God is. See, if every family would study the whole book. Now, first, they made the chapters. Man did divided the chapters up. But you can't read 1 Peter with chapters. The whole thing should be one chapter. So if you study the whole book of 1 Peter, if you read it as one chapter, it'll make a lot more sense. I'll tell you another one. A lot of people think that you can stay in sin, basically, because a lot of preachers have read chapter 7, Romans chapter 7. But see, Romans chapter 7 doesn't stand alone. You have to read chapter 8 with it. If you bother to read chapter 7, don't read it without chapter 8, because it'll seem to, people have taken it the wrong way. See, chapter 8 is life in the spirit. Paul divided life in the life according to the flesh versus life in the spirit. When you attempt to do good, then evil is there, working against your mind and your body. But see, your spirit man is born again. That's the part of you that's perfect. You got a brand new spirit, but you got the same mind and the same body. Now, this is how it all works together. If you live by the spirit, if you fill your heart with God's word, and your spirit man gets strong, your mind gets renewed, then you can command your body, and your body will cooperate. And you won't have the problems of chapter 7. You'll have life in the spirit in chapter 8. And you'll be happy and content without sin. Sin is not necessary. Sin cannot help you. Sin cannot do you any good. It can only do you harm. And the pleasures of sin is deceit. God made the body. There are pleasures, but and then there's sin. There's some things if you do, it's sin. And it's going to cost you something. Sin has a price tag called death. So you don't need it. And then God gave you something in place of sin. He gave you life. As far, you know, a lot of people want to flirt with fornication and adultery. But when you have a wife, you have love. And if your families would come together and be stronger in the love of God, 1 Peter teaches us how to do it. So does 1 John. You know, 1 Peter, Peter was the chief apostle. John was the apostle God loved. We need to listen to these men of God because they spoke by the Holy Ghost. And see, you can do it the hard way or the easy way. You can do it the easy way, which is follow God, fill your heart with his love and his word. And then the decisions you make among, with your family members are going to be on another scale. God dealt with the wife, dealt with then he dealt with the husband, then he dealt with the children in the family. The whole book is for everybody to read and apply as an individual. If you're a husband, it outlines the husband's responsibilities toward the family, not just the wife, but the children too. If you're a wife, it outlines the wife's responsibility toward the family. If you're a child, it outlines the child's responsibility to the parent. So, 1 Peter is the glue that will keep you safe in Jesus, and you won't have any form of strife in your life if you do what's written in 1 Peter and also 1 John, the whole book. Now, 1 John gives you dynamics of how to live and how things work, but he teaches you a lesson about love. Now, it's just as good as 1 Peter. John wrote this later on in his life after much experience. So you need to listen to these men of God. Or you can do it like the modern day Christian. Just do what you want. And you become lukewarm. And when the rapture happens, you be here doing what you wanted to do, looking crazy. But or you can do it God's way, and it's so much better. Now, I've made mistakes. I've done it. I've had problems. God has helped me with it. I tried to handle problems by myself. I didn't get anywhere. I asked the Lord to teach me. He taught me. And I want you to have the better kind of relationship. I made mistakes. I looked at things. I had to grow from glory to glory to get to where I knew God. And I'm learning who he is all the time. I know him. Because I have a relationship with him. And I don't care if people think I'm crazy. I love God. God loves me. So my testimony is, if I told my testimony, I have to include what God said and did and how it all works. Some people, they don't talk about what God did. They just talk about something that happened in their life. And they leave the part where God spoke out. So man won't think they're crazy. But Jesus didn't do it, so I'm not going to do it. Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do, and I say what I hear my Father say. I do the same thing. Jesus is wise. I gave my life to him. I believed on him. I trust him. I obey him. He loves me. I love Jesus. We got a relationship. He's my Savior. I'm his child. I'm his. God is my God. And he loves me. And I love my family like God loves me. I love you like Jesus loved me. He laid his life down for me. I take time to do these broadcasts because I love the people of God. And that's how it is. When you love people like Jesus loved you, that's a statement that cannot be forgotten. Even if they go to hell, they'll remember somebody did care about me. And if they go to heaven, they're going to be so glad that they listen. I tell people sometimes, we can't be friends now, we'll be friends in heaven. God wants us to know him. And we get to know him by doing his word. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. And he'll teach us. He has things for us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to understand. He wants us to see who he is. He wants us to have knowledge and not foolishness. He don't want you to be in the dark about anything. You don't have to, because the Holy Spirit came to guide you into all truth. It's a blessing. And God came to do great things. If you study what Jesus said, it makes so much sense. It takes your life so far. And he can do so much more in your life if you walk according to his word. God is good. He wants to be known. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to be known. He wants you to pray. And he wants the goodness of God to appear in your life. He wants you to have good days. That's just the way he is. He wants you to see him and know him. And he will show you things to come. He will warn you of things that exist. He will warn you of things that's not like him. And those that apply these things to their life, you're going to know him. You're going to get to know him. You're going to get to see who he is for yourself. Not just what somebody said. But you're going to get to experience the goodness of God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.